I'm going to invite you in the course of our message today to join with me in reading our gospel lesson for this morning. And I would ask that you would find the teaching notes that are there in your bulletin and that we would walk together through this great passage that helps us to refocus during this season of Advent. And I want to begin by asking you this morning, as this holiday season begins, what's capturing your attention? What's capturing your attention? Is it shopping? Just over a week ago was Black Friday, and then we had, Small Business Saturday, and then we had Cyber Monday. And I know you were all thrilled about that. And as Americans, we've already spent billions of dollars this year, everyone looking for the perfect gift. Or maybe you're up late at night making something special for someone. As this holiday season begins, what's capturing your attention? Is it decorating? Have you been up on the housetop stringing the lights? Maybe pulling the boxes of Christmas stuff down out of the closet, putting up the tree, hanging the wreaths and the mistletoe. What's capturing your attention? This time of year is especially stressful for those who deliver mail, those who deliver packages, those who work in retail or in restaurants. And there are programs at school and church and so many things to do. Presents to wrap, baking, cards to send, guests to prepare for. The list can go on and on. And a lot of us are focused on just trying to be where we need to be when we need to be there. What's capturing your attention? Well, perhaps as this holiday season begins, your life is filled with some sadness. This evening is our annual service of remembrance and hope. And this is an especially difficult time of year for those who have lost loved ones. We'll come together with candlelight and quietly remember our dear ones who have passed. And we will also claim again the promises that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope and healing that we find in Him. What's capturing your attention as this holiday season begins? Maybe you've been watching the news this week. Ugh. You might even have tuned into the news channels that go on 24/7. And it's troubling. The loss of moral compass, the deepening divisions between political parties, the suffering of so many, many people in this world. As this holiday season begins, so many things can capture our attention. But today we're here. And this is a very special day in the church. For we are preparing in this season for a most special guest. And we are reminded today in our worship that Emmanuel, God is with us. And the question for all of us today is, are we paying attention to His coming? A pastor commenting on the season of Advent made an interesting observation, and it's printed there in your teaching notes. She wrote, "Like the house hunter who noticed the train tracks on moving day, but later sleeps through the whistles and the engines that rush by, we can miss the thing in the season of Advent that might have been most obvious and important at one time, the coming of Christ." Now, I know what this Pastor Lillian Daniel is talking about, because for 4 years when I was in college, I lived in a dorm that was located right next to the train tracks. And I remember how those first few nights as that train roared by and shook the windows. It woke me up and I didn't get much sleep. But soon it got so that I had trouble getting to sleep if the train wasn't coming by. They would go by and I would sleep all night without even hearing them. Friends, God is with us. And the question is, are you awake to God's coming? Last Sunday in that wonderful sermon she gave, our youth pastor Lisa said this: once we understand things, we change the way we do things. When we understand that this season is really about the coming of Christ to us and to our world, it changes the way we order our lives during these weeks leading up to Christmas. So I want to ask, how can we do things this year so that we don't miss the coming of Christ? Well, here in the 13th chapter of Mark, Jesus invites us to refocus. And first of all, he invites us to refocus on his power and glory. I'd like to ask if we could read together, beginning at verse 24. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Wow, what a dramatic scene. And it reminds us that as Christians, we live in these in-between times. We live in between the already and the not yet. We know that Christ has already been born, that Christ has already showed us how to live. We know that Christ has already died on the cross for our salvation, has already risen from the dead, has already sent us the Holy Spirit to carry out his mission. The power and glory of the Lord Jesus has already been revealed to us. A little earlier in Mark's Gospel in chapter 10, Jesus uses that same phrase that he uses in this passage, the Son of Man. And it helps us to refocus on what we have already experienced in Jesus. Look at Mark 10:45. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We celebrate today that the Lord Jesus Christ has already come to serve and to give his life for us. And yet, living in this world with all of its troubles, we know that Christ has not yet come in all his glory. And you and I are all too aware of all of those forces that are at work to undermine his good purposes in the world. And yet, as we light candles and celebrate Advent, we remember that we are a people of hope because Jesus will come again. We don't know the day, we don't know the time, but we do know that when he comes in his power and his glory, as he tells us in this passage, that he will make all things new. The evil forces in this world do not have the last word. Jesus Christ does. And Advent invites us to refocus our eyes on his power and his glory, which has already been revealed to us and yet is yet to be revealed in all its fullness. And one of the most important ways that we can refocus on the power and glory of Jesus is through our worship. Whenever we sing songs of praise to Jesus, whenever we lift our prayers to Jesus, whenever we open our hearts and our minds to the Word of Jesus, whenever we love and serve and offer ourselves in the name of Jesus, it magnifies His greatness and His glory. So I would encourage you during these weeks of Advent to set apart time in your life to refocus on His greatness and glory, to worship Jesus in a daily devotional time, to worship Jesus by coming together Sunday morning and at other times here at church, to worship Jesus as you're going about your daily activities, because whenever you worship Jesus, it refocuses your attention on His greatness and His glory. So in this passage, Jesus first of all invites us to refocus on His power and glory. And then secondly, He invites us to refocus on the signs of new life sprouting forth. Refocus on the signs of new life sprouting forth. Let's read together these next few verses of this passage, beginning at verse 28. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that He is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Now, Jesus invites us to learn a lesson from the fig tree. And the thing is that we're not as familiar with fig trees here as the people were in Israel in Jesus' time. I mean, we find our figs at the grocery store, or maybe in a box of Fig Newtons in the cookie section. Anybody like those? But those who first heard Jesus' words knew all about fig trees. In fact, figs were an important part of their diets. Tending carefully to the trees was critical. And just as the fig growers would watch for those first signs of growth and health in their trees, so Jesus calls us to be attentive to the signs of new life that are sprouting forth in us and in our world. Everywhere you look, whether it's here at church or in the community, or in your school or workplace, there is the possibility that you can see, if you have eyes to see it, new life sprouting forth. One sign of God's presence for me during the holidays is the ringing of the bell outside of the stores by those Salvation Army volunteers. Do you know that last year the Salvation Army provided holiday assistance to more than 3 million people? They gave more than 10 million nights of lodging to those in need. More than 56 million meals were served by the Salvation Army to those who are hungry. You know, the Salvation Army was started about 150 years ago in London by a Methodist couple named William and Catherine Booth. And they were so overwhelmed and horrified by the conditions of the poorest of the poor in their community, so passionate about reaching those that the established church had forgotten, that they began their ministry. William Booth once said this: "While women weep, as they do now, I'll fight. While children go hungry, I'll fight. While men go to prison in and out, as they do now, I'll fight. While there is a drunkard left, I'll fight. While there is a poor lost girl upon the streets, where there remains one dark soul without the light of God, I'll fight, I'll fight, I'll fight, he said, to the very end. And so we hear that bell ring at this season outside of a department store or somewhere, and we forget about the important work that takes place as a result of the Salvation Army and others who care for those in need. Your generosity for others helps me to refocus. For his ordination project, Dilip Abhisekara, who serves as a deacon part-time at Middlesex Church, collected socks for the homeless. He called it the month of Socktober. And he put collection boxes in 17 different churches in the area. One of them was ours. He collected a total of 4,651 pairs of socks to meet what is the greatest need for those who are homeless. And you gave, as a congregation, 418 pairs of socks during Socktober. We praise God for the response to our annual Sleep Out for the Homeless 2 weeks ago. The youth of our church, along with youth from Mechanicsburg Brethren in Christ, had a meaningful experience and raised more than $4,600 for New Hope, Bethesda Mobile Mission, and Family Promise. And we're also thankful to be able to donate all the cardboard from the Sleep Out to Carlisle Cares, who will receive money for their mission by recycling it. We give thanks to God for our annual World Thank Offering and the UMW Mission Meal a couple weeks ago. The offering, which supports women, children, and youth all over the world, totaled nearly $1,500. And the mission meal raised $562. 100% of that money will go for hurricane relief through the United Methodist Committee on Relief. And together, you watched as the boxes piled up for Operation Christmas Child. As a congregation, we put together 490 shoeboxes to give to children around the world. The list goes on and on and on, not just at this special time of year, but all year long. Through your generosity as a church, as you care for the people in our community, just as William and Catherine Booth did long ago, you are refocusing on the presence of Christ among us, on the new life that is sprouting forth. As I think of all that God is accomplishing through us, I just want to invite you to say together, praise the Lord. Are you ready? Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus invites us to refocus on his greatness and glory, invites us to refocus on signs of new life. And thirdly, he invites us to refocus on the work given to each of us. Let's read verse 34 together. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Now, did you notice the words underlined there? In this in-between time, between the already and the return of the Master, each of us is given work to do. And I wonder, what is the work that the Lord has given you to do in these weeks leading up to Christmas? Yesterday morning, we had a celebration of life service for a longtime member of this church, Charlie Glessner, who died last Saturday at almost 96 years old. In his lifetime, he blessed many of us here at the church. At the service, Charlie's good friend, Daryl Kennis, gave a witness to his life. And he said that Charlie's handiwork is all over the building here at First Church. In fact, it's likely that every one of us has walked by something that Charlie Glessner has had a hand in making in this building. Charlie participated in the woodwork of the welcome desk, of that case that surrounds our sound booth. He made the mailboxes in the gathering space that he called pigeonholes that we get our mail out of. He made a number of rocking chairs that we enjoy in our children's department. He made and donated wooden boxes for displaying flags of deceased veterans. Quietly and humbly, Charlie did the work that he felt God called him to do, and it enriched the life of this church in so many ways. And we give thanks to God as we gather in worship, not just for Charlie Glessner, but for all those many, many saints, some who are no longer with us and some who are still faithful to God's work, carrying out that which God has called them to do. Friends, to each of us, we have been given work for building the kingdom of Christ. And whenever you are faithful to the work God has called you to do, it refocuses you on the coming of Christ into this world. Now we conclude this passage with one more invitation from Jesus. He calls us to refocus on the celebration when the Master returns. There's gonna be a party when Christ comes in his glory for those who are among his own children. Let's read the last couple verses in this text. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake. Let's repeat that last phrase there. Keep awake. Keep awake. Hey, we're almost there, right? Living in between the already and the not yet, we come together today at the Lord's table. And we call this the celebration of Holy Communion because as we partake, we celebrate the wondrous gift of God to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. The Apostle Paul tells us that as often as we eat this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. As this holiday season begins, there are just so many things that would capture our attention. But I invite you to refocus. Refocus on that one, that most important thing, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Refocus on his greatness and glory in worship. Refocus on the signs of new life all around us. Refocus on the work he has given you to do. Refocus on the celebration to come. Refocus, for as you do, you will unwrap the greatest gift. The gift of God's love poured out for us all in Jesus Christ, our Lord.